Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We have campuses in Cabot, Benton, Midtown, West Little Rock, and Fellowship Espanol, also in Little Rock. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the host of Fellowship Talks, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everyone.
Amy, this is a really exciting episode. This is episode number 65 and our final episode of season 2 of the podcast. We're closing out our second year here at Fellowship Talks.
I did not realize that. That is so fun. It's been a great 2 years, and I can't believe we've already finished two years of this.
And the great thing about podcasts is if you're listening to this episode as your first one, you can go all the way back and just scroll through your podcast on your phone and go back and listen to our first couple.
Mm-hmm.
When we were rookies, we didn't know what we were doing.
I need to go back and listen to that. I bet it's changed a lot.
And one of the exciting things is our very first guest, Aaron Williams from episode number 1, is here for episode 65, the final episode of season 2.
How special.
Wow. Feel so honored, you guys. Congratulations on 65 episodes. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Very cool. Welcome to the podcast once again, Aaron. And we also have Clarissa McNeil sitting here with us.
Hello, everybody.
I was clear to say McNeil.
Yes.
Not McWhirter.
McNeil.
Yes. Clarissa McWhirter has also been on the podcast at one point.
Different Clarissa.
She's on at the Midtown campus and serves there and works there and attends there at the Midtown campus. This is Clarissa McNeil, who's on our West Little Rock campus.
Right.
So we have you guys here on the podcast today to make, or really, the announcement's already been made. We've already released the Fellowship Music Worship album, but we're here to talk about that a little bit more today, talk about that album.
Yeah, we're so excited just to have you guys here. I mean, this is a really big deal. Y'all have worked so hard on this album, and so we want to just hear a little bit about how you got started with it, what kind of led to creating this album, and kind of what that journey was for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us on. We are super excited. I wish, you know, everyone listening could be here in the podcast booth because, you know, our faces probably speak even louder than our words can of how excited we are.
Yes.
So we have just released an album and, you know, gosh, it's been quite a long journey for our worship ministry. We've been talking about, praying about, wanting to write songs for our church family for a long time. And we have done that along the way. We've released singles and smaller, releases. But this is the first time, I believe, in the history of our church where our whole worship ministries come together for a project. And so it's really special because every worship leader who's on our staff was a part of writing and recording. We had probably 40 to 60 other musicians and vocalists that are a part of our worship team across all campuses come together to be a part of it. So it really is a project for our church, by our church.
Mm-hmm. So some staff, some volunteers.
Some staff, some volunteer, yes. Just a group effort. And I mean, that in and of itself is something that we're really excited about. But it's songs written for our church family, too. And so it's been super fun to engage in that process.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I was going to ask you a little bit more about that. What is the importance of writing songs specifically for our church body?
Yeah, well, I would say I think one of the most important things about songs are we see that God's people have written songs all over Scripture. I mean, Aaron and I were talking about this yesterday. He mentioned everything from the Song of Moses to, you know, Mary's song in the New Testament. And when we see songs all over Scripture, and they're always reflecting what God's doing in a body of people. And so we felt for us here at Fellowship Bible Church that we wanted to do the same, to really capture what God's doing in this season of our church, in our body right now, and put songs to the things that we're learning, the things that we're feeling Him calling us into. So I think that's a huge part of why we wanted to write songs here now in this season.
Yeah, you know, I think songs have a really powerful way of kind of speaking into what a church family is going through in a specific moment. And God uses songs all the time that he kind of, I believe he breathes in to maybe it's a theme or something that is resonates with the global church. And you see that in a lot of songs. But there's also, I think, something really special about being able to write songs specific to our church family, where we're at, where we've been, maybe where we're headed. And some of those songs might take off in other church circles. They might bless the global church. I mean, we pray that if the Lord wants to do that, that that would happen. But there's also something really unique about writing specific to our church family. And that's what this collection of songs is really for.
I love that. I love that you all came together to write for our church. How did that process look? How did that many people come together to write and work on a project like this together?
Yeah. It's not an easy process. it's a lot of trust. And one of the things that's interesting about writing with people is those of us who are songwriters are creative people. And creative people, as creatives, like, we can be really tied to our ideas. But there takes a certain amount of just humility and a lot of prayer for the Lord's grace to be with us. Because not just the songwriters, like, working together, we're also friends. And so I think that was a huge part of our time in writing together and why it was so powerful, is because we're for one another, we're for each other. But it still takes quite a bit of courage to submit an idea that you've been working on by yourself and allow these really amazing, talented people to speak into that, because sometimes you're not sure if they're going to like it or whatever. But we just so believed in the calling that we felt the Lord, you know, bringing us to writing songs for our church in this season. And so I think it was a great effort on everybody, but it was a lot of work for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember sitting around a table when we were praying about, should we do a big project together? And we ask ourselves the question, hey, do we have the relational trust as a team to work on a creative project this big with one another? Because it really, you know, it takes that.
That's a hard question to ask.
It's we
hard
felt
question
like,
to answer.
Yes.
We felt like it would be better to be honest about that on the front end rather than find out, you know, halfway through that we weren't. And I think that really speaks to, there's a humility behind the project of, I think there's a confidence in what God's called us to do, but a humility that we really need him to lead us in writing the songs. And even part of that, how, you know, some of the practicals of how we did that, we write sometimes, you know, during the week at the church, but we found it really helpful to take a writing retreat, which we did right after the new year. We went to a family in our church who was gracious enough to let us go to their lake house for a couple of days. And we had 12 songwriters and we broke it up into sessions and we wrote songs for, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day for 2.5 days. And at night we would come together and share those songs and we captured them. And those recordings, they're like very simple, but those recordings are like, they marked us in some way, you know, going back and listening to them. They're in some way, they're more special than the finished shiny product, you know? Yeah.
So start to finish, how long has this project taken?
You would know that better than me.
I think probably officially, if you count that writing retreat, you know, that would be in January. So it would be a good 6 months of actual, like, you know, in the studio working on it. In some ways, it's like years and years and years because, you know, it's a lot of the cultivation that it goes into it before you can even enter into that. And some of that was just even conversations with our teaching pastors, central leadership team, campus pastors, of raising the awareness of why songs are important, what role they can play in the discipleship process in our church, and how God uses songs and music in that. And so I think that's been even a longer journey, but, you know, for sure 6 months of kind of head down, you know, week in, week out working. Obviously, even within there, you've got the Dwell Conference, you've got Easter. And so, you know, it ebbs and flows with everything else that's happening in the church. We're still leading worship every Sunday and doing the normal things. So,
Well, you talked some about how these songs in a lot of ways were a response to what God is doing here and in the lives of people. Can you talk some about how you hope for these songs to influence the lives of people and to influence the hearts of the people in our body and even beyond?
Yeah. Yeah, I I would think that our prayer really is that in being able to identify what God's doing in our church and using songs to really put melody and lyrics to that, mm-hmm. That we would be, in a sense, agreeing with God, with what God's wanting to do in our church mm-hmm. and in our people. And so I think as people are listening to the music, as they're streaming it and downloading it, we would say that our prayer would be that our people would begin to agree with what God's wanting to do in our church. Mm-hmm. And for some people, you know, the songs are going to mean different things. Some people are going to really identify with certain lines and certain phrases that hit them in a special way. But we believe that God's doing a large work in all the individual works that he's doing with each and every single person. He's doing an even greater work mm-hmm. in our church body as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so our desire would be that the songs could just agree with that mm-hmm. and help bring that to the surface, I think, for our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're going to have a chance to listen to a few of the songs now and hear some of the stories about how these songs were developed. So why don't we just jump right into that? The first song we're going to share with you today is called Great is the Lord. And so can you guys tell us a little bit about who wrote that, who sings it on the album?
Totally. Yeah, this is a really fun one. If you've been here over the last number of Sundays, we've actually started introducing this as we've been in the Psalm series, because the song is written mostly inspired by Psalm 45, but we pulled in a couple of other psalms that have that same theme of great is the Lord, he's greatly to be praised. And it's kind of a special one because this is the first song that a group of us wrote on, and it was actually at a writing retreat like 2 years ago. So the very first one we ever tried, and trying to remember exactly who was there. It was Joel Pfeiffer, who's down at our Benton campus, Jesse Pierce, Wes Little Rock, Clayton Seiler, myself, Alan Thomas, who's a worship volunteer who helped produce the record. I believe that's the group of guys that it mm-hmm. was. And we sat down, and this was one of those songs that, like, some songs come quickly, some songs take a long time to develop. And I remember we wrote it, and we really liked it. And then it stayed like as a voice memo in my phone. And we were getting ready to do this project, and I went back to it. Like, I still remembered it a year and a half later. And I went back to it, and I thought, man, that song has got something really catchy. I love that it's straight from the Psalms, so it's really powerful just to sing scripture back to God. Mm-hmm. And so we just reworked the verses and sat around it a couple times as a team and just had a blast singing it. And it ends up being the first track, the opening track on the album. It carries a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. It's very fun.
It's a fun song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it so
you all know, right, let's listen to it.
Yep.
One name alone is to be praised. done great things.
That's incredible. I'm glad we had a chance to listen to that song. Clarissa, you've said something before about songs that you sing that are your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You love singing declarative songs, that is a declarative song to the
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah, it totally is.
And Aaron, you mentioned right before we played that song about singing scripture back to God. What about that is so powerful? Mm. And what about that is so powerful for you, Clarissa?
Yeah, I think... Glenn Packiam, when he was here, I can't remember if it was this year or last year at Dwell, but I'm going to mess up what he said, but he made a comment about, and Aaron, you can help me with it because you probably know it, that what we sing affects what we believe, and what we believe impacts how we live or something. That may not be the right order, but something like
sounds
that.
Sounds great.
But to me, that's what's powerful about singing scripture back to God, to Aaron's point, and seeing things that are declarative in nature about who he is. Because I know for me, oftentimes it's easy to forget how good God is, especially when you're in certain seasons. It can be easy for us to really focus on these other things happening in our life that don't seem so good. But to have the help of a song, and especially an up-tempo song that's fun to listen to. It's when you're listening to that, for me, like, I've been listening to it in my car, like, really, really loud. And I just, like, it just lifts my spirit to think about, yes, you know, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. How wonderful you are. Like, I mean, it's hard to sing those words without a smile on your face, I think.
It really made me think about the week that Ben taught in the Psalms, and he was teaching on lament psalms. But he was saying, sometimes we come in and we sing songs and we might not be feeling it in that moment. But when we declare those things to the Lord, it strengthens our heart.
We have to speak truth to ourselves even when we don't want to believe it.
That's right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the title track on the album, All Things Together. Where did that song come from?
That's you.
This was an interesting song. I mean, this is a meaningful song, I think, for a lot of us on the team in many ways.
Very much so.
It didn't come, like, the writing process was very kind of not your usual way. We were actually working on a different song. And what happens at times, like, we had written a verse and we were trying to write a good chorus. And we wrote a chorus, but we didn't like it. And so it's kind of weird, but every once in a while, like, what helps get my creative brain, I guess, activated is I'll just, like, go off in a corner by myself and just almost pretend like I'm leading worship. Like, I'll visualize myself on a stage in front of the church family, and I'll just be thinking, what would I want to say here, you know? And out came the chorus of All Things Together. Ironically, it still didn't fit with the other song we were working on. But I immediately kind of knew, I guess instinctually, I was like, okay, there's something really unique and special about this chorus. And so we had dinner, and then I could not let go of it. So, like, I was basically, like, the whole time we were eating dinner and after it, I was like, we're writing this song. So it was Clint O'Kelly, Ashley Hunefeld, and Jesse Pierce, and it was basically everyone who wasn't cooking or cleaning up dishes.
I was going to say, those of us eating dinner, we could hear them in the other room, and we're like, guys, can y'all go somewhere else? We're trying to eat dinner.
Yes.
We're like, can y'all go do that elsewhere? Like, we're taking a break.
But sometimes, you know, it's so weird. Like, in the creative process, a lot of times you're working on stuff and it just feels like you're sludging through quicksand. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. You're working so hard and you're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while, it feels like God just drops a little diamond out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get those, you learn to recognize like, okay, well, there's something here.
Yeah.
And so
you got to go after it right there.
You got to go after it. And so we basically worked through the night, and it's a simple song in a lot of ways. You know, it's written out of Colossians 1. Talks about Jesus being the one who spoke all things into being, the one through whom and by whom and for whom all things exist. But then there's that phrase of in him, he's holding all things together. Like he's the one that's holding all things together. And so I think the song has a lot of hope for the seasons of questioning, doubting, for walking through trials or difficulties. Even verse 3 talks about when you're serving or you feel unseen by God.
Mm.
It's been crazy how many people have responded just going, man, I do feel, sometimes I feel like God doesn't see me.
Yeah.
And to just have a verse that reassures, even when you feel like God doesn't see you, he does see you and he's holding it together. And so, yeah, Clarissa was actually the first person who led the song once we came back from the retreat.
Yeah, this song will be familiar to a lot of people because we've been singing it for the better part of a year in our services around fellowship.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The first time I think that you guys actually played it was at the, for anybody who was at the January night of prayer.
Yes, you're right.
Post the time of fasting that we did together as a church body. It was a powerful moment in the room. Like, I just won't forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, just knowing some of the stories of the people in the room and seeing them cry out to the Lord, singing these words, you know, that you hold all things together, when knowing that they were feeling like actually their world was falling apart. I mean, it was just a beautiful moment for sure.
Yeah, I had a guy, just a real quick story about that. Some things just stay with you. I had a guy in our church family come up to me right after that, and knowing his story, I've known their family for a while, and he lost his wife this last year and has just been walking through the grieving process. And he just said something to the effect of, you know, sometimes it feels like God just puts his, you know, gets right by your ear and just whispers something straight to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, some of the lyrics in that song were that way. And, you know, there's no way that we could ever foresee that moment happening when you're sitting in a room writing a song. But, like, that is what you pray for, that God will just take something like that. I mean, it's really like the fish and loaves from the book of Matthew. Like, it really is him taking something small that we have, and he just multiplies it. He does. He ministers to people in ways that he can. So
That's incredible.
That's good. That's good. Let's listen to that one now.
In my longing, in my waiting, will your presence be enough? When I'm fearful, when I'm doubting, will I have the strength to trust? Steady. serve you when I'm hidden? Will I trust the Father sees when you call me? Will I listen? Will I follow where you lead? I will follow where you lead. Where you lead. You're the first, you're the last, you're forever. You're the one who brings spring out of winter.
Amy, it's really interesting the kind of privilege that you and I have sitting in this room with Aaron and Clarissa, to the players on this project, and just watching them listen to these songs and seeing them bob their heads to it, move to it as they
look ridiculous.
but the heart and soul and passion that they put into these songs just come out as they're listening to their own songs that they created. It's really a special time to be able to do that.
It really is. And I love that one because, again, it's one of those declarative ones, and it has that response in there as well, that I will follow you.
Yes.
And I love just the pulling of those together. This is who you are, and in response to that,
this is
my
worship.
Heart's response.
Yes, that is worship, responding to all that good is with all that we are. Yeah. Totally true.
Why'd you guys pick that one as the title track of the album?
Well, we weren't. I mean, it wasn't our plan necessarily. We sat down with our media team, and I believe it was Jenny Yancey, Connor Goad, Ashley Keithley might have been there, and we were just talking. It was the very first stages of talking about the design for the album, and so the question comes up, you know, are you guys titling it something? And we said, well, we don't really want to pin you in to a corner. If we were going to title it something, you know, we gave them all the tracks, said, here's a couple options. It could just be like a self-titled Fellowship Music. You don't have to use the song title. And we just let them kind of run with it creatively. And Jenny came back pretty quickly and said, okay, we've got some traction behind All Things Together. We know that's going to be, you know, one of the songs that we have been singing a lot on the album. And so it just kind of came about that way. We felt good about it from an album title perspective. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, anything that was spurring them on creatively for the design was really cool. So that's kind of how it officially landed that way.
Well, we have one more song that we want to get into. But before we do that, there's a part of this project that's really special. And Clarissa, you especially have a lot of passion around this with our partners in Poland. And I want you to share a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, Aaron could probably help me with more of the details. But I will say a few years ago, we actually were sitting in a meeting with some of our mission staff, and they were talking about how could we collaborate together? And several years ago, we talked about just different ways that maybe worship and missions could collaborate. And then once we finished the project, it was Aaron's idea to go back to missions and say, hey, maybe there's something we could do with the project to help fund or, you know, fundraise or whatever for one of our global missions partners. And just going and talking with them, they share with us more of what our global missions partner, Marek, does in Poland. So, Aaron, you want to share maybe a little bit about what they do specifically?
Yeah, so they do a number of things, but one of them is they have a school. It's called the Evangelical School of Theology. Mm-hmm. And within that school, there's like a sub-department called the Institute for Church Development. And we found out that they have worship leaders who are bivocational that come from all over Poland, but even outside of Poland every year, because they're basically given pastoral leadership in their churches and in their communities, but they've never been equipped and trained.
Right.
And so they're coming on their spare time, on their own dollar, to come and be trained to not just know how to sing songs, but how to lead people and pastor people.
Yeah.
And so our team immediately was like, that's our heart. If we could be a part of helping them out with this project. And our missions team was super excited about it. And so, yeah, basically a certain part of the proceeds from the whole album we're going to give to help those worship leaders in Europe be trained so they can go back into their local churches and pastor and lead. And our team is super excited about that. We just know that worship goes much far beyond singing. And so we wanted the project to, in some way, be able to give back and be an offering of worship even beyond just the songs that we'll sing.
Yeah.
So that's our prayer.
So as people in our church buy the album, as they listen to it, stream it, or people around the world listen, stream it, and buy this album, proceeds from this are going to the Evangelistic School of
Evangelical School of Theology.
Evangelical School of Theology in Poland with Mark, with our partner Mark. And, and you may remember listening to this podcast that we had Mark on earlier this year. So you can go back. I don't remember what episode number it is specifically, but you can just scroll through your podcast and find Mark there. So one more song that we wanted to listen to and talk about today is called Heart Poured Out. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, this is my favorite song. One of my favorites on the album. It really came out of a melodic piano idea that Alan Thomas had, the guy that we mentioned helped us produce the album. He's a big part of our worship ministry. We love him so much. Very creative guy, unbelievable songwriter. And we were sitting in a room. There's about four of us, myself, Alan, Joel Pfeiffer, who's our campus worship leader in Benton, and then Hayden Lloyd, who you guys may remember was one of our worship residents last year. And Alan kind of came up and started playing a little thing on the piano, just a couple of notes. And immediately in me personally there, I just could see this picture. The minute he started playing, no words, no nothing, it was just the music. But it felt like it was in anticipation for something really awesome. And that's just the word I kept feeling and sensing, was like wonder and awe and awesome. And so as we started to play with the idea and kind of flesh it out some more, all of us just began to feel this theme around what it would be like to see Jesus face to face in that moment of like ultimate worship. So we see how the Old Testament prophets, you know, how a lot of them had this experience of awe and wonder. We look at Moses and his encounter with God on Mount Sinai. Look at Isaiah. We see that even in the New Testament with the disciples and Day of Pentecost. And there's just this, there's something about God that just for us as humans, our response ends up being in response to his awesome and wonder. And so that's kind of where this song came from. Was that idea of this would be the kind of song we'd want to sing that would encompass all the thoughts and ideas of what our response would be to see Jesus face to face when we get to see him and worship him unhindered, without a veil, without anything blocking that. Like, to me, that's just what this song came out as, and just it painted that picture so well. So it's one of my absolute favorites for sure.
Yeah, totally. I think this song is one of those that really portrays how music and lyric together, when used well, can transport you to a different place. Not literally, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It can, it has the, I think, the power in a good way to really move you toward God, both in your intellect and your emotion.
Yeah.
And it just, it makes you feel like you're beholding God, mm-hmm. and you're bowed down, as some of the lyrics, like you're bowed down before Him, pouring out your heart in worship. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It's probably the most intimate song
on
the album, and it just turned out really well. I think it's a really special one.
Let's listen to it.
I'm in awe of you, caught off guard, lost in wonder. So beautiful, you stole my heart, King forevermore. How I love you, Lord. How I love you. I bow down, forsaking every treasure, every crumb. No inhibitions here, I lay me. Heart poured out. I want all of you, nothing less. Overwhelming, so beautiful. I desire just to know. Treasure.
treasure every crumb. No inhibitions here, I lay me down. Heart poured out in worship.
Yeah, there's a phrase in church culture sometimes that it's called thin places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that you can have some kind of experience where it feels like heaven is meeting earth.
Yeah.
And I get that sense that this psalm is that for you, where you feel like heaven and earth are meeting and you're standing right there in the throne room.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming and sharing your heart, sharing your music, representing the rest of the worship team. Our worship team from all of our campuses were involved in this project.
Yeah.
We had volunteers from all of our campuses involved in this project. Really excited about it. Where can people find this album if they haven't got it yet, if they haven't been listening to it yet? Where can they get it?
Sure. Yeah, the album is available on any online streaming platform, anywhere you get your music digitally, iTunes, Google Play. You can even ask Alexa to play Fellowship Music, All Things Together, and she will. But yeah, anywhere you get your music online, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, we'll also have hard copies available of the album at all of our campuses. So just find your worship leader, and I'm sure they can point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. The album came out on July 12th. It's been out for 2 weeks now. We're really excited about it and looking forward to what God's going to do with it around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
It's been a blast.
Well, until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.